BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy. Welcome, one and all, to episode 577 of BRB UK. That's a depressingly high number. I'm Dan, I'm one of your hosts. Welcome, one and all. Hope you're well. Thank you for joining us on whatever afternoon, morning, or evening you are, in fact, joining us on. I'm joined, as ever, by the full complement of BRB hosts. First up is Tim. Say hello, Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Tim, I would like you to do an impression of your new cat.
Meow.
I'm underwhelmed. Coleman!
Hi!
I would like you to do an impression of Tim's new cat.
Meow!
See, that is a much better rendition of a cat who was excited to be part of the Hibs family.
Right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You see, you're like, meow.
I had to say, my new cat is super adorable, though.
No, yeah?
This is very sweet.
So yeah. Am I. You see me bragging about it.
So brand new cat, how old?
Yes, 4 years old.
4 years, not that brand new, but new to you.
Yeah,
pre-loved.
But I was actually super surprised, like, how quickly and easily she settled in. Like, she was super friendly from the word go.
Yeah, did you leave with food?
Yes, I mean, there's always a
good
plan.
There we go.
first couple of hours, she was a little bit timid, but, like, after that, straight away, she was like happy to be picked up. She's like very cuddly, very, very much like scritches and like stroking. And yeah, so yeah, she's a very happy cat and very friendly. So yeah, that's been quite good so far. You'll have to come round and meet her soon.
So where Coleman Towers are located, there's also a cat, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So what I think we ought to do, one show when we fancy a week off, we'll just leave the cats in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I saw Hack the Movies do that recently, and to varying degrees of success.
I mean, there will be a lot.
I heard the internet likes cats, though. So
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. It will do the YouTube algorithm will like us for it. It'll be great.
I think I can't remember if it was their Thanksgiving or their Christmas episode, but they did a Homeward Bound and did the review, recorded audio, and then the video where they usually sit in the studio. They just had dogs and cats on the microphones.
It'd be great.
Nice.
Pretty good. I thought it was funny.
Excellent. Yeah.
Should we do a show?
We probably ought to do a show.
Or we should keep talking about cats.
We played video games, but Tim also went to a thing. Tim went to a thing.
I did indeed.
You did go to a thing.
Better not be the Olympia.
It was.
What?
What the hell, Tim? I've told you about that place. Bad things happen there.
No. Well, did you actually go inside the Olympia when this happened, Coleman, or was it in where the bins are kept around the back?
It was at a Hilton down the road.
Nice. And Tim, did you actually go in the Olympia before we
They're
get
actually
Coleman's
doing extensive remodeling at the Olympia at the moment and did make it much more difficult to get in than normal, but still.
Okay. I mean, spare us all, Tim, with the 15-minute diatribe about the remodeling that you're about to launch into and just... Cut to the chase. Why were you at the Olympia, Tim?
I went along to London Toy Fair. It's one that I go to most years, and I did go under the guise of press,
right?
But for reasons. But I went along to the press day, which was Tuesday, and there's a lot of things there that I do. And the main reason I go is for Tabletop Tuesday and drumming up some gamers and support and seeing some upcoming games for that. Some really good looking games, which I won't spoil because they're for upcoming Tabletop Tuesdays, but some great stuff from kind of partners like Coiled Spring and Asmodee, and some really cool video game related things, which I'll highlight a bit more when we get closer to the time, mainly because I didn't double check that I can actually announce that they exist yet. So I will do that closer to the time. When we get that for Tabletop Tuesday, I'll mention that. There's one thing that was a bit more video game related. It's kind of tangentially video game related, but I said they'd give them a shout out because I had a little look at them and they were interesting and a bit different and something I hadn't heard of before. I'm still not 100% sure of the use case, but see what you guys think. It's a thing called Nestlums, a pocket money pet. And it's a bit like a kind of mixture of a kind of piggy bank and a Tamagotchi.
Right.
And it's a
question.
Yes.
Where are you putting the coins?
Well, that's the thing. It's all digital currency, but it's kind of what? It's a kind of device. This is the thing that's a bit weird. It's digital currency, but it's digital currency that you can't spend without like parental permission from an app. So it's kind of like, but it's a kind of system for teaching kids the value of money, which, as they pointed out, might get a bit more weird as we get into a society which has, you know, like a cashless society where it's all kind of digital. Might be a more difficult thing to teach kids, basically. And so it's a kind of cutesy Tamagotchi style device.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a cat.
And kind of kids can adults can put like kids' pocket money onto it, and they can kind of like, you know, sort of pass it out and sort of help them spend their pocket money bit by bit. But it's also got like digital mini games as part of the system as well. And I don't know exactly where that comes into the equation, but it is kind of, as I said, tangentially video game related. And I thought with our age and vintage, it's more likely that we'll have listeners that have children that are the kind of audience of this rather than having the direct target audience of the kids. But I thought it might be of interest to some parents out there and stuff like that. So one worth looking out for. I'm not sure when it's available, but I think it's like an upcoming thing rather than something that's live now, as far as I'm aware.
It's December 2024, by the sounds of it, is when it's due to be launched. Yeah. But you can register your interest now because stock will be limited.
So just a little thing to keep an eye on. As I said, it's got some mini game type things on it, so it's tangentially video game related. But I thought it was just an interesting little device which I hadn't really heard of before, and that's one that's coming out in the future. So have a little look for that. Coleman kindly put a little video thing out on the video version. But Nestlum's Pocket Money Pet, and Nestlum is spelled Nestlums. So have a little look at that, see if that's of interest to you. As I said, most of the other things there.
It's kind of interesting to me as an adult man.
Yeah, you want to help spending your pocket money. Boring.
I mean, Tim, what I want to know is, will it finally help you understand the concept of investment?
Investment.
Is what I want to know. Because you call a lot of things an investment.
Yeah. Kev used the phrase yesterday when we were recording a VRB and I didn't pick him up on it. But maybe it'll teach me that, you know, spending isn't necessarily an investment. But yeah,
no.
Maybe something other people might want to invest in future. It looked cutesy and a bit different. It was also, there were video game related board games at the event. But as I said, not sure I can talk about all of those yet. So I'll save that, keep my powder dry and save that for another time.
Aren't you a tease?
I will also just mention just quickly as well that I had a really nice conversation with James O'Brien, who's my kind of favorite radio host.
Can't stand him.
Host on LBC. And we talked some politics and a few other things, which is his kind of area of expertise. But we did also mention and have a conversation about, because he's a kind of lapsed gamer. He basically he had two daughters, and so he sort of had a bit less time on his hands. He's also been writing a book, a series of books and a book lately. So he's finished his book. His daughters are a bit older, so he's decided that he's probably going to treat himself to a PS5. So we're having a conversation about that, and I was just recommending him a few games, telling him I'm a lover of VR, so he might want to check that out.
Oh, God.
But he said like he's a real like completionist, so that's his only worry, that he really wants...
We don't mention that name around here.
Yeah, that's true. But he wants a lot of time to be able to dedicate to it, because he doesn't like leaving things unfinished, and he's a bit worried about like blockbuster games and taking up time. So I said that VR might be good for him because they tend to be slightly smaller experiences that he can get through as well.
And let me guess, you'll give him the first one for free, Tim. Is that how it works? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I was actually recommending a few games that he'd missed over a few years. So I was recommending like God of War and Ghost of Tsushima and stuff like that. So, which, how about
Ghost
that?
Ghost of what?
But It was Tsushima. But it was, yeah, it was just really nice to chat to him. It was nice that he's as personable and friendly in real life as he comes across on the radio. And it was really fun to actually have like a video game conversation with him as well. So just mentioning that
and if,
you,
if you're listening,
well,
sir,
yeah.
Congratulations on surviving Tim speaking at
you
for a prolonged period.
You survived. It's all good. Yeah.
All right. I'll give you a flipping podcast a shout out on
you're
the radio.
Just stop talking to me.
Once again, I've been involved in LBC and I did not tell her, get a plug for BRB UK. I did Tabletop Tuesday instead because my name's Tim. That's how I talk.
Anywho.
I think your impression of my cat is better than your impression of me, but hey.
Hi.
Wow,
that's not a good impression.
Understand, James O'Brien. That
was just you being you.
Yeah.
Hi.
Meow.
Exactly.
That's better.
So okay. LBC, so Tim's cat does impressions of you. My cat does a passable Christopher Walken impression. As we
meow.
Meow is what he sounds like. So we need to know what your cat does. What impressions does your cat do?
I don't have a cat. He's not mine.
You're associated with the cat.
He also does no impressions. He just grumpily stares at me unless he needs food, and then he screams. It's quite fun. Or if there's a spider on the wall and he can't reach it, he screams at the spider. It's quite funny.
Good work. Carmen, we've both played the same game. In fact, we both played two games.
And each other.
What?
Pardon?
Ah?
Señor?
What? Not tonight. Come on. I've got a headache. Prince Persia, The Lost Crown. Mm-hmm. We have both played this.
I did say last week after first impressions that I was going to play more this week, and then a different game came out, and I started playing that instead. And got heavily.
All right. So what you're saying is this is on me. This is on
this
me.
This one's on you, Dan.
This one's on me. How much of it have you played, Coleman?
I have probably played like 3 hours in total.
Okay. So Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown is a video game. A little bit back to the roots of Prince of Persia insofar as it's some side-scrolly, platformy action with a little bit of hacky-slashy goodness.
New Age fun with a vintage feel.
It is New Age fun. It's a New Age fun with a Metroidvania feel specifically. And unlike the kind of original Prince of Persia games, which were really kind of super precision platforming and combat, this is more about Metroidvania, about kind of gradually exploring the environment in which you live, unlocking new skills as you go, and organically finding new bits of the map that you can now access thanks to your increasingly clever chap. You play a guy called Sargon, who, frankly, I found him a bit annoying initially. I do kind of find that cut long story short with this game, it takes a little while to hit its stride, and I think that's a fair comment on this.
Sleepy tutorial.
Where it really doesn't... I mean, its strength isn't the early combat, where essentially all you can do is wave your sword about and occasionally block, but end up getting smashed in the face.
And slide.
You can slide. And it all feels a little bit disjointed until your additional abilities start coming in. Actually, it isn't just kind of flavors of existing abilities, which is what you perhaps sometimes get with a Metroidvania, but this is actually fairly fundamental things that all of a sudden the button on your controller that never did anything all of a sudden starts doing stuff. I kind of felt that the burn was a bit slow on this, and that the kind of this attempts at storytelling that they were doing in the early game really didn't make up for the slow burn of the gameplay. The plot is okay. The voice acting is bearable, I would say, and it really kind of leans into that attempt at storytelling early on in the game and probably doesn't really stick that landing. However, at its core, once it gets going, it's a corking Metroidvania and really does, as the abilities unlock, kind of allow you to really play the game your way. I mean, some of the abilities, I'm not sure which ones you've unlocked so far, Carmen. Initially, you'll make you going, huh, why would I want to do that? But actually are really cleverly done in the game and really make you think about how you interact with the environment and how you kind of fight enemies. So it's good from that point of view.
It's meant to really open up the combat once the time abilities start kicking off.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of, you know, that's the big kind of MacGuffin here is that timey-wimey malarkey, I think, is probably the way I would describe it without going too many spoilers. There's timey-wimey malarkey going on in this here game, and that really kind of, a lot of the unique kind of gameplay beats are a lot behind that. The art style's generally great. I do kind of love the style that the game has. I don't know, I just find some of the characters a little bit difficult to get on with. And it's a good job that the game does open up when it does, because I was at the point of really walking away from it, and then all of a sudden it started getting good.
Well, also, I mean, when you talk about the style, they've got the Prince of Persia, who, as I mentioned last week, you're not playing as the Prince of Persia. Nope. You're someone rescuing the Prince of Persia. And the Prince of Persia doesn't even look like Jake Gyllenhaal. It's an absolute
rip-off. I know,
rip-off.
Very depressing. It's a big letdown for you, Coleman, and I know, mate.
Awful.
I know.
Is there any nods to any of the previous games?
If you bought the Super Special Edition, I think, then you got a Warrior Within costume.
Okay,
that's it.
I haven't seen it. I mean, admittedly, I haven't massively committed the plots of the previous ones to memory, but yeah, there was nothing that certainly stood out to me as a callback.
Oh, and you have time powers, as I previously mentioned.
Timey-wimey, so it's
a little bit sands of time, but yeah, it seems like it's a kickoff to a brand new type of story.
So I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, admittedly, I haven't finished the game yet. I'm not sure if the main characters really got the depth there to really build out a whole franchise around him. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes.
I mean, people seem to really like this game.
I mean,
to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good game. It is a good game. I wouldn't say, I don't know. I think it's one of those situations where, because everyone was bigging it up so much, perhaps I had slightly unrealistic expectations of it. I don't think it's it's a perfectly acceptable playable game. Is it going to set the world on fire? No, in my opinion.
I think because it got quite a lot of criticism before anyone played it, because it went back to the 2D, and when that got announced, the internet was quite critical of that. So I think when Coleman and I saw it, and when a succession of other people saw it in preview, and it was actually decent, like, that message perhaps got amplified in terms of it. But I mean, reviews have been quite positive of it as well, though.
Oh, so, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you, though, for the asking. I mean, to me, it reminds me, in terms of spit and polish and as a product as a whole, kind of, you know, the, like an Xbox Live Arcade game when they were in their heyday. It's kind of that level of fit and finish. And to me, the price of £45
does seem a bit excessive.
Seems a bit steep to me. Mm. I think
that's the funny thing, because people go, "Oh, it's below the recommended retail price." And like, yeah, but it's still quite a lot of money. It's still quite a lot of money.
It seems like 30 would have been a more reasonable price point from what I've seen and heard. Knowing what you're
although
saying.
I did cash in some PlayStation Stars for it, so that was nice.
I like it, but I think my mistake was I went for a handheld experience with this one, and I don't think I can sit and play this in short bursts. I need to like properly sit and study levels and like really get into it, but I kind of have too many things on the go at the minute, and more games are arriving, I have to come back to this.
I mean, to be fair, it does have some nice little touches that help you. Like, on the map, you can put a lot of markers down, so it's like, that's something that's clearly I'm meant to access later, so I can put, like, a little... Or you can put, like, little screen grabs on the map just to remind you. So that's quite cool. But yeah, I mean, I think, Tim, you described it well when you kind of in your play, when you played an earlier version of it. It is a decent game, and I think it's a solid decent, is what I would say.
Yeah.
I personally would wait for the price to come down. It's got potentially Game Pass or PlayStation Plus written all over it at some point in its future.
Buy the deluxe edition, get that Warrior Within skin.
No.
List some Godsmack while you're playing.
Nope.
Or some...
Nope.
Right, I can't even remember what other bands nope. were in that game.
Nope. So that's it. So Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. That's my thoughts on it. It's decent.
Okay.
Good.
What were you playing it on, by the way, Dan?
What?
What were you playing it on?
Because I cashed in PlayStation Stars, it's PlayStation 5. Yeah. Is what I'm playing it on.
Okay. I'd assume PlayStation. Okay. Yeah. I went
Steam. I forgot you said that.
You went Steamy. How does it perform on the massive deke?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. But I feel this needs to be on the big TV and not on the desktop and not on the Steam Deck. I want to sit and like proper get into it.
Yeah, I wonder if the Switch version's good because then you can do both with it as well. But don't imagine it's too taxing for the Switch. So.
You can with the Steam Deck depending on your setup.
Mm.
You know?
But anyway, it's pretty much available on everything. PC, your PlayStation 4 and 5, or 5 and 4. Mm. Xbox Series is as well as your Xbox One is and your Nintendo Switches is.
Ooh,
good.
All of those things
from $44.99 to $49.99. Yes, indeed. Just $49.99. Out now.
What? Huh?
Mm. What?
Yes.
Huh?
What? Yes. Ah, good. Yes. Mm.
Guess what I'm playing?
With
the same game as the rest of the world.
Same game as the which I think is, I've been playing Power World, which I think at this point of speaking has probably sold about 20 million copies.
Yeah, seems to go by a million every time I hear someone mention it.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I think SkillUp said that, didn't he? He's like, I've started recording this, it's sold like 4 million. By the end of my show, it'll be like at 6 million. This is showing my age. I secretly hope Power World was going to be a cast back to your games running 20% slower in a letterbox squished format just because you had the misfortune of living in the UK. That's what I thought it was going to be.
That's what the game is. That is what the game is.
NTSC World runs much better.
If you don't know, kids, ask your dad or ask your mum. Ask your mum or your dad about the horrors of PAL gaming versus NTSC.
So this was announced, 2 years ago, I think, first shown off, and it looked like a Pokemon kind of knockoff game, and then all of a sudden,
fun fact,
players
still
had
looks
guns,
like a Pokemon knockoff
games, and the Pokemon had guns, and everything was kind of crazy. So now everyone's calling
guns
it the Pokemon
everyone.
With guns game, or gotta shoot them all, or whatever you want to call it. Power World, that's what I'm playing. It's out of early access now, or game preview if you're playing it on the Xbox. I am playing on the PC. I am playing on the Steam Deck. However, probably not the best way to play it because you have to really kind of limit the text settings, but it's kind of cool on the go. If you don't know, this is an open world, as I said, kind of Pokemon game, but it's not just a kind of Pokemon game. It seems to be a lot of games mashed into one. Like you start washed up on on an island with all this plinky plonky piano music going on. As you've got to scavenge to find clothes and weapons and things, and it's very sort of Breath of the Wild, and the kind of look of the characters and the weaponry and stuff is very Fortnite, and you can even glide around in the game, and then there's the Pokemon aspect, and so it's this weird kind of open world
crafting. It's almost got like
crafting.
A bit of a Monster Hunter vibe to it as well.
Yeah,
it's got so much. Not just basically just a little bit of this and a little bit of that and chuck it all in a pot and we got a video game gumbo, and I'm actually quite enjoying this. It's an open world survival game that has monster hunting and crafting in it, and that's kind of fun.
I have a question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What if I want to establish a Victorian workhouse where cute animals make AK-47s? Can I do that?
Well, that's the other kind of thing, because like if we go back to the Pokemon idea, it does things that kind of answers the questions that Tim's always bringing up whenever we talk about Pokemon and the kind of way that
about,
Pokemon
about how it's an ill-conceived blood sport that harks back to the bad old days.
in this world, they're called pals,
right?
And the pals, you don't just catch them and get them to fight for you, but you can also fight them, and you can also use them as tools and stuff, but you can get them to work for you as well. So you establish a base and you can do you can eat them
as
well.
Is the way with Pokemon too, but
in some cases you catch them and they'll give you like
meats and eggs and
I always find
like
that, that I always cut. Find them a bit Pikachu-y though. thank you. No? Oh, come on. Come on.
It's a shockingly bad joke there.
Hey, there we go. Carmen's all Bulbasaur about it.
It's not that. I couldn't find the rim shot. So my timing is way off. And I also forgot I had one.
Hey.
There you go.
Hey.
Excellent. You can fix that in
that
post
for next
it's fine.
Time.
Yeah.
No, I won't. Oh, I've got a shortcut to it. I didn't realize. Anyway, so yeah, your big thing is open world multiplayer game. Go and establish a base. Go and go catch some pals. Get them to farm for you and dig for resources and chop down trees and all that kind of stuff. Different pals do different things, and keep leveling up your base. Keep leveling up your human. Keep leveling up your pals. And go out and start fighting bosses and exploring dungeons. And it's just a big open world game that's going to remind you of a million different games. But I've put 20 hours into the 20
oh
plus hours today.
So that I've is that why this. I had to vamp about Prince of Persia?
Yeah.
Yeah. Considering I forgot, I didn't know this game was coming out. And then, data was coming out and it'd been out for a couple of days and I went, oh yeah, Power World, picked it up and have not stopped playing it. It's pretty damn good.
I was going to download it via Game Pass and play it for this week, but then when I'd seen that you'd played it and I wasn't going to get much time on it, I was like, I'll just leave Carmen to it. But I've heard that the Steam version is a newer version of the game and the Game Pass version, because it's both both labeled as early access. But apparently the Xbox version of the game is a slightly older version that has more bugs in it and doesn't run quite as well. So I'm a bit put off by that at the moment.
It's apparently several iterations behind the Steam version on Xbox, which a lot of people have been complaining about. There have been patches that have been coming out since the game's release to sort things out, stability and whatnot. I can't speak for the Xbox experience because I don't have Game Pass, so I've not tried that.
I've tried it.
Okay, go on then.
It doesn't run great on Xbox, I'm not going to lie. I also gave it on PC as well, but it made my PC sound like it was going to take off. I wouldn't be surprised. It looked a little bit, based on the footage I've seen from the Steam Early Access version, I think that's probably bang on, that what's being circulated via Game Pass is an older build of the game, without a shadow of a doubt.
It's just funny though because I've been playing this on Steam Deck, like I say, and your mileage may vary on Steam Deck because you've got to put the settings right down low to play it. It's a little bit fuzzy, it's a little bit janky, but it is playable. And obviously, if you're not online because you're on the Steam Deck, you know, I play this on the tube or on my lunch break and stuff, so I'm playing it offline, which you can do. So it's interesting because it still plays better than the last Pokemon game that came to the Switch.
Nice. Wow.
But it does all the open world stuff that I've been wanting in a Pokemon game since I was a teenager, and it's doing it better, although in a very kind of bootleg kind of way.
Well, and I think we kind of need to talk about that. That is the Squirtle in the room, as it were.
Well, I didn't play the game, but I did watch a video today on why Pokemon will probably not sue Palworld or not be successful in doing so. They may try, but apparently a lot of it, and I'd give a shout out, something like Game Story something, and I can't remember the actual name of the thing. I was trying to look it up on my phone, but he did a very good explanation. He's not a lawyer, but he kind of really knows and kind of detailed the difference between a patent, which that's kind of for ideas, so there's nothing related to patents, but the difference between trademarks and copyrights and actually the extreme violence in the game.
I will actually lose my mind if you use your usual get out of parody here, by the way. It's a parody, it's fine. It's a parody.
But actually, it's the... like there's enough that's different about it. I would be surprised if, because the Pikachu character is trademarked. I think it's trademarked rather than copyrighted.
Yeah.
And I think that's something where They have a very similar character in the game by the looks of things. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of had went after that and asked them to modify it a bit more so that it was legally distinctly different. And I think that's some of the areas where they could challenge it. But generally, the actual format of the game, because they've got the ultra violence in them, that's something that doesn't feature at all in the formula of Pokemon.
Well, it does so in a family-friendly way, as you get animals to eviscerate each other for your own amusement.
But because it doesn't do it in a family-friendly way in this form, it's legally distinctive enough that it's likely to be not classed as derivative of Pokemon. It's also they haven't used the Pokemon name. They haven't and like the characters are one thing where I think they might be more likely to get in trouble. But from the sounds of things, yeah, they can't really protect the stuff that they've done.
Where it goes. I think kind of actually a part of the controversy that's been going around is actually taken away from the fact that, you rightly say, at its core, it's an exceptionally different game than Pokemon. I just think it's the rather reductive, Pokemon with guns is that most people led with. However, what I have heard is that some of the similarity, if you extract the models from the game, that there are glaring number of similarities that would be more that you wouldn't expect just by chance or alone. That there are, even though at the mesh level they're not identical, like the proportions of all the characters, some of the characters are exactly the same. And I also read that another reason why it's in a bit of hot water is that perhaps it used some of the assets from games like Pokemon, ran them through a generative AI filter, and actually designed some of the characters that way, which is not only nicking someone's work, but depriving someone else of a job at the same time.
That's the thing where they're more likely to come after them from a legal perspective because they've got trademark things. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they had done that, that I think that would be a legally difficult thing to prove that they had done and that it was a problem. But I think it's more likely that just like the end result of this thing looking like Pikachu is something that's more likely because that is something that's trademarked. But not every one of the... because you have to register the trademark for each individual thing that you associate with your brand. So there's the copyrighted side of things, which is the Pokemon name and stuff like that. But you have to have each individual Pokemon actually trademarked. So Pikachu is trademarked. Bulbasaur is trademarked. But not in every individual thing is trademarked. So they'd probably have to do that on a literally monster by monster basis kind of thing. And then that gets into the weeds of how much that's worth doing. And,
Tim, they're pals. You can't call them monsters because monster would imply a Pokemon.
They are backpack creatures, not pocket monsters. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I've heard someone describe it because there's been a few games of this genre type these days, like Cassette.
It's not only a genre, it's a type of genre.
But there's quite a few games that have come out in the last couple of years that have been of the Mon-likes, as I've heard them referred to as, basically. So I don't know if that's a widely accepted phrase at the moment, but that's something I heard.
Can I just plead the internet that it shouldn't become an accepted phrase, okay?
Yeah.
Please, no. No, Mon-like.
Anyway.
No.
So... Power World, it's out now. It's on PC. It's on the Xbox and also it's early access, as said. So at some point, I'm assuming they wipe the world and we start all again when the full version's out.
I think the games are the worlds are local at the moment. Certainly on the Xbox version, I don't think.
Okay, well, I don't know. I don't know what tends to happen with early access games. A lot of them, they just wipe them.
They'll probably wipe it.
Go right, start again. Yeah. But yes, $22.49 to $24.99, depending on what you're getting there on. And once again, it is available on Game Pass. When you talk about legal issues, I did see there was a thing where someone turned the main character into Ash Ketchum and the three starting Pokemon pals into, I think it was Pikachu, Charmander, and Bulbasaur. And then very quickly, cease and desist, scrubbed from the internet. And what's the main mod site that people tend to use? Is it Nexus?
Nexus Mods, yeah.
Nexus Mods. They put out a statement saying, right, if you put out Pokemon mods on our site, we're just going to delete them because we don't want that trouble.
That's fair.
Yep.
Have you played any multiplayer yet, Coleman?
No, I've just been playing it entirely in single player.
Okay. Because apparently that's one thing, that it is more limited to the multiplayer on the Xbox side. I think it was up to 4 player, but that you can play a lot more on the Steam version as well, apparently.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but yeah.
Well, as everyone I know who's playing it is doing so on Xbox or Game Pass of some form, and I'm playing it on Steam, I don't think I'm going to be playing with many friends. I'll have to do it randomly.
I think they said that crossplay is coming eventually.
Yeah, that is. There's a lot of stuff to plumb up on the back end there, I would imagine. So yes. No surprise, being an early access game, that's not on the top of their list of things to do.
Anyway, I kind of recommend it.
There's an endorsement.
It's because I can't tell if I like it because it's just itchy. It's scratching an itch in my brain somewhere, and everyone else actually, like, the students are right. This is a bad game, and it's me who is wrong.
Right.
I've heard a lot of people say that it's not the greatest game in the world, but they also can't stop playing it.
Yeah. That was it. I saw one of the most scathing reviews left on Steam reviews, and it was from someone who had 60 hours logged in the game. And But the funny thing was, they put this huge, huge review, like pages of review written in Steam, and it's going, right, first off, I've played this for 60 hours and I don't like it. It's not because, and wrote all these negative things in great detail before getting to the reason as to why they didn't like it, which I didn't read that far in to see why they didn't like it, because I keep getting lost in all this controversy that they've written about. I was like, but if you're taking the time to write so much about it, I kind of feel it is bothering you. That might be the reason why you don't like it.
So you almost sound like this is your first foray onto the darker recess of the internet, Cobb, and there's a lot of that goes on, so... I've devoted my life to it, but I don't like it. Right, why did you devote your life to it? I mean, as someone who plays a lot of Destiny, I see a lot of this, okay?
Yes.
I hate this game. You've got 3,000 hours logged. I hate it. But I keep coming back.
Are you happy you can redesign your character in Destiny, Dan?
I can redesign my face for the first time.
Are you happy now?
Honestly, I keep my helmet on, mate. It's what I do.
So do I, because mine's Mr. McGen Erickson thinking I was going to go back and edit it and went, oh, you can't actually do that. Whoops.
Yep. Yep. So you can now do that is the hotness in Destiny.
Oh. We spoke too long. Let's do the news.
Let's do the news. Anyone? Much excitement for news and then silence.
Let's hear it from the host.
Okay. Let's hear it from me. So... unfortunately, the theme of January 2024 very much seems to be continuing from late 2023 insofar as yet more layoffs are hitting the industry. Now, it's so difficult because, I mean, I think there was a lot of expansion it's Riot Games were the first up for this week. And it's very sad saying, well, this week's turn for layoffs is... but Riot Games are there. They're laying off about 530 people, which, if you like percentages, is about 11% of its workforce. Now, I think Riot Games, doubled in size over the course of the pandemic years. And I think there was perhaps some I'm not saying this is right and excuses letting people go.
Yeah.
But there was quite a lot of expansion in the industry, which might not have been sustainable in the longer term now that kind of life is slowly returning to normal post-pandemic.
I don't understand that, though. I don't understand why they expanded. I've heard that a lot, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but why expand during the pandemic? I know it's harder to develop during that time, so they might have needed to overstaff slightly to combat that as well, but...
I think the reading of the tea leaves was that people are going to be spending a lot more time at home and they're going to be working at home a lot more, meaning they're going to have all of a sudden an hour in their life, which they didn't have because they were on a train, potentially playing games, or that it's going to be a way that people connect with each other more. So therefore, we want to invest in that as an industry. But I think kind of patterns of gaming are slowly going back to what they were. The one thing I would say, though, and I think... you know, you can let people go in the right way and you can let people go in the wrong way. And Riot are definitely, whilst it's still very sad that they are having to, you know, there's 530 people who are going to be out of a job. Yeah. They are, however, offering a minimum of 6 months full salary to people who get laid off. Cash bonuses, they get to keep the stock that they have in options. The way it often works with big companies is that they kind of give you an IOU for the shares. And if you remain there for 3 years after that IOU's been issued, it turns into a real share. So they're letting them cash in shares. They're also giving them career guidance, other benefits, continuing their health insurance. And if they would be left without a laptop because they are out of a job, they're giving them a laptop as well. So
hopefully they fired most of the misogynists as well. So, you know, that might help.
Alleged misogynists. I mean, I haven't heard that angle, I'll be honest with you, Tim. But you know, hopefully they're keeping the right.
Going back a bit, but yeah.
Hopefully they're keeping the right people. But like I said, I think it's very sad to see people lose their jobs. But I think in this particular context, in this particular story, Riot are doing the best that they can when faced with a harsh reality of, you know, just the cash flow means that they can't afford to keep the same number of people on the payroll that they were. Remember in America,
shareholders,
employment law is very, very different in America to UK. Yeah. In America, they can let you go immediately and that's it. You are at SOL, you know.
Yeah,
you are out on your own. So there is,
and you lose your health insurance, which is a big problem for a lot of people as well in America.
Exactly,
as well.
Exactly. So, you know, it's not ideal, but I think they're doing the right thing. I mean, they're saying that it isn't being done to appease shareholders, and I mean, well, it's difficult to know how much. Without, I haven't looked at Riot's financials. I couldn't tell you one way or another. It's really only going to be board
but
meetings.
That's the type of statement you say only so people don't criticize you for doing it to satisfy shareholders.
Like, I mean, unfortunately, but at the end of the day, it's a business. If money coming in is less than money going out, then you've got a problem.
Then it's
and you've got to do something about it. And unfortunately, this is one of the quicker levers to pull if they want to have a shorter term turnaround. However, I mean, unfortunately, hey, that's capitalism, folks. Doesn't mean it's right, but unfortunately, it's the reality of a lot of how modern businesses work.
With late-stage capitalism.
Can't emphasize enough that from what we've seen and from what we've heard, Riot are at least trying to do good by the people that they've let go, or as good as they can do. But it's not just Riot who are letting people go, though. Sorry, Carmen. Carry on.
No, that's okay. Carry on.
No, go for it, mate. Yeah, you go for it.
No, that's all right. It's not interesting.
No, you go for it. No. Put that person away.
Fine. Just carry on.
Now, I'll pay for the crumpets.
No, it's weird now.
All right.
No, it's weird now.
It's been weird for a long while, though. Really, hasn't it? It has been weird. Are you weird? Feel all right?
Do you want a cuddle?
Do you want a cuddle?
You've got a hard out in 8 minutes.
All right, okay. So, but it's not just Riot Games. It is Microsoft Blizzard as well. So over 1,000, and this came in today, over 1,900 Blizzard and Xbox staff have been let go. I mean, I think it's a little bit of a developing situation, but I mean, it's coming not that long after Microsoft dropped a lot of money on ActiBlizzard. And I don't know what the split between Microsoft and former Activision Blizzard employees is, but that is interesting in and of itself, in my view. And there is some streamlining happening there, I think. I think we'll probably there'll be more details about this by the time we record next week. But I'm not massively surprised. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt going around that the powers that be at Microsoft, not just the Xbox division, Microsoft, have been really shining a bit of a harsh light again on the Xbox side of the business and asking whether it's as operationally efficient as it could be. So I think that's going to be a bit of a developing story. I'm sure there'll be more to report on that next week.
Yeah.
At least Bobby Kotick's dead now, though. That's
not
good.
Actually dead, Tim, but he's
Ding
gone.
Dong the Witch is dead kind of thing, like, but you know. Okay.
He's not gone, Tim.
Allegedly dead.
That investment you made on the Bobby Kotick hit didn't pay off for you, buddy. I hate to tell you this. Yeah.
I'd just like to personally point out that I'm not a big fan of Bobby Kotick, but I don't wish to wish death upon him.
Too. No. I was being flippant
and silly. I mean, more that he, he's just
a casual death threat, was it, Tim?
Hopefully he doesn't find his way back into the industry, because the industry is better off without him as part of it.
It's the last episode of BRB UK, because Tim threatened the life of Bobby Kotick.
Stabby Hibbs rides again.
Bobby Coldick. Anyway, yeah.
What?
Wow.
I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't know him that well. I couldn't speak to the temperature of his
appendages. Defamation of character to it.
Yep. Wow. Anyway, we probably ought to start wrapping the show up, because I unfortunately have a hardish finish. But who knows, they may continue talking after I've left. So there we go.
So last bit of news we got this week is about, there was the Xbox game, what was it? The developers conference, which Tim did point out to me was happening just after we record last week. And I went, they never announced anything new during there. And lo and behold, at the very end, they went, by the way, here's that new Indiana Jones game from Machine Games called Indiana Jones.
They did say in advance that they were going to do that. So yeah.
I mean, the one thing I was going to, wasn't it the same event this time last year where they stealth dropped Hi-Fi Rush?
Yes, I believe so.
So it wasn't quite the level of unexpected awesome as last year, maybe, but still pretty cool.
Also, as I said, they did say in advance that they were going to have details of this game, so yeah.
Well, I did not pay attention because I was stuck at work, so...
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway,
that's okay.
They've shown it off. Looks pretty cool. Slots in the movie universe. It isn't a... like they're doing the James Bond at I.O. It's not going to be, like, the character reimagined for video games. It looks like it is meant to be canonical to the movies in some form or another. You have the looks of Harrison Ford, the voice of Troy Baker.
Because everyone has the voice of Troy Baker.
Everyone has. I'm voiced by Troy Baker.
Are you?
Not Tim, though. He's voiced by Nolan North.
Boo! Dan Bootleg Troy Baker.
And Dan is voiced by Tara Strong. Why not?
Yep, that's me, right here.
Also, in the second most recent of the video game appearances, I always forget the guy's name, the one from... The guy who played Candyman, who was just the voice of Venom in Spider-Man 2, he's in this game as well, as a baddie of some sort, by the looks of it.
Oh, okay.
So that looks cool. You'll see returning characters, and it's all done in a first-person style, which is interesting because Indiana Jones games usually are, they've always been side-scrollers, point-and-clicks, or third-persons. But yeah, it's a good excuse to go and whip and punch Nazis and go solve puzzles. I like it.
I think especially in a world where we don't seem to have an Uncharted on the horizon, this is quite welcome. They also said it would be 2024 and it'll be coming to Game Pass. So that's all good news. I also think Machine Games making this is a really good fit, and gives me an even greater confidence that they will make a really enjoyable first-person game where you can punch some Nazis and whip your way around. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I really like the look of this, so... I'm definitely on board from what they've shown so far.
Good, clean family fun, punching a Nazi.
It's a good excuse to maybe purchase an Xbox Series X and get rid of the S.
Possibly.
Because this looks like it might be quite intensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an X. That's an X jobby, definitely.
I am a big Indiana Jones fan, so I am looking forward to this. When like the moment they announced it, I got a little excited, and now we've actually seen footage of the game. Like, all right, I'm down. I could do with this.
Indiana Jones and the Great Circle isn't the best name.
It's the dumbest name.
It is the worst name I've heard in conjunction with the film. But it cannot be as bad as Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So that's got something going
for
it.
That's a cool name with a bad film attached to it.
Yeah. Hopefully this will be
Crystal
the reverse.
Skull? Ooh, he's after vodka. That's amazing. this one, the name is worse when you watch the trailer as well, because like, why are we going to all these different landmarks, Indiana Jones?
Because they're all on a big circle.
I'm going to pull them off the map and go, oh, it's a big circle. A great circle, some might say. Da 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 da.
Damn it, you just got us demonetized, Coleman. That's clearly enough notes for us.
We don't have money.
All right.
Yeah, you've got to have money to be demonetized.
Yeah.
We haven't been monetized. I mean, we have. We just haven't set it up.
I really would like to see some alternate Indiana Jones titles, like Indiana Jones in the B-Day of Destiny or something like that. I would like to hear...
Indiana Jones?
Well, no, you've got to keep the Indiana Jones bit.
Dr. Jones.
Spike Jones and the... and the Grundle of Nightmares.
Grundle of Clunge, what?
I said Nightmares. Why did you add Clunge?
I don't know.
No, we've been demonetized.
Because he likes the word Clunge.
Now we've been monetized, demonetized, remonetized, and demonetized once again because of your foul potty mouth.
Yep. That's me. That's what I'm here to do.
That's what you get for
the potty mouth of doom.
Voice. Yep.
Anyway, Indiana Jones. No confirmed release date yet, but it says 2024.
Maybe fiscal 24 is what I'm guessing for that.
I could see this getting pushed back.
Sneak into 2025.
To 2025, maybe.
So that's it. That's all the news we've done got time for today. So we're just going to do our regular reminders. We show you the door of this here podcast, namely that you need to go to tpublic.com/store/BRB and buy things with my face on it. That's what you need to do. Buy my face. Buy it. By my face. My face. Ask yourself, do I have Dan's face? If the answer to that is no, you need to go to tpublic.com/store/BRB and buy things with my face on it. Thank you.
Eating my dust.
Absolutely. Tim, Tuesday is Tuesday. Tell us about Tuesday. What's happening on Tuesday?
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday. And each and every Tuesday, we have an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. Each week we have a different feature game, or most weeks we have a different feature game. And if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the evening. There are things in motion and things I'm not sure about yet. So I haven't confirmed the game for next week.
Right, sounds like you're a bit behind with your admin, Tim. You just made it sound fancy.
No. There's something I'm trying to get in time for this week, and it's a case of whether...
Did your cat eat your homework?
Basically, we're getting a cool game, and we're definitely getting it in time for Tuesday. It's just whether we're getting two copies of it, and whether we have that's going to be our feature game, or whether we're just going to have that on top of our feature game this week. So I just have to settle that.
I wouldn't put it on top, then you won't
tomorrow.
See the other game.
So by the time this podcast is out, you should be able to get more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, or you can join our over 2,100 members on meetup.com by searching for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com.
Meet up.
Or just, come join us at Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington.
Meet.
Cool.
I also have some very cool things lined up for future weeks of Tabletop Tuesday, so it's going to be a good year of Tabletop Tuesday stuff.
Blended.
Good. I like that. I look forward to playing Power World, the card game, trading card game.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah. What card are you playing down? Gun! Gun! Blade of gun!
Pretty much.
AK-47. When you've got to kill every pal in the room,
when
except no substitute.
Yep, AK-47.
I forgot to mention this. On the front cover, it's like a electro buzz looking mash up with a Snorlax, and it's holding a Gatling gun, and it does look kind of badass.
Yep.
And I think I just unlocked this, but I haven't applied it yet. You can upgrade your powers to have certain abilities, and the Vulpix stand-in, the fiery fox thing, you can pick it up and use it as a flamethrower.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Nice. I see Power it can World. Cook dinner for you as well, but yeah.
Yeah, they can cook for you.
Yeah.
I've got mine smelting.
I mean, it's no Cat Chef, but...
I should play some more Monster Hunter World.
Every time, I always try and get back into Monster Hunter. I just go, it's just too weird. It's just too randomly weird for no good reason. Why
really
is this
like
so
Monster
hard?
Monster Hunter World, but I can't get it running like to a level that I'm comfortable on my Steam Deck, even though it's verified and everyone else plays it on Steam Deck now. And like, it just doesn't look good to me on Steam Deck.
Well,
I want it on Steam
have
Deck.
To play it. That one's gonna make
also,
me.
I think that's one you have to be online to play as well. That's an issue for me, because if I want to play on Steam Deck, I want to play on the go.
You do.
So.
You very much
do.
Right.
Hey, let's go.
I think we should. Thank you for listening to our show. You should, if you did like what you heard, tell your friends, obviously. But we also like it if you leave us a cheeky little review. Coleman has set his mighty, mighty internet imps all over the place, and they nestle wherever you might like to leave a podcast review, and they will read the review, and they will report back to Coleman, and it will make Coleman very happy. So do leave us a review. We do like to see some nice, honest, constructive feedback. Thank you very much. Yes, so if you do feel that way inclined, be greatly appreciated. And you should go to our Discord, where there are links in the show notes. You should go to BigRedBarrel.com. You should go to Facebook.com/BigRedBarrel. You should go to X.com, Twitter.com. I don't know,
BigRedBarrel.
Tim's still banging on about Threads. There's at BigRedBarrel there. And on YouTube, Coleman's gone. There's on YouTube, there is a Big Red Barrel TV. You should go there. All of these things is where you should go. If you're only listening to this podcast, you can enhance it with mighty, mighty visuals by going to the YouTube channel. So there we go. Right, we're going. I think you should too, dear listeners. So all that really remains is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I've been a squirt with a submachine gun.
Nice.
You do you, Coleman. You do you.
Yeah, it's the way to be.
So, until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
I want to make the very best. I think that is so fun. Monsters that you can collect, but these ones have a gun. We will listen, defend, and dread it. Now I lie. A copyright, but understand we will not pay a fine.
It's different, can't you see?
On my world,
play with your friends,
then capture and butcher them.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.